don't just exist. Live live on AWR SID Media.
Pastor Ian Murapa, can you hear me? Pastor Murapa?
Yes, good afternoon.
Can you hear me, Mfundis?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. How are you, Mfundis?
I know we're doing well. We thank God.
Thank you, Mfundis. So we have a lot to cover. We missed out on Monday, Tuesday, and we have very little time for today. So we're going to try and cover as much as we can today. Today we're focusing on worship in unconventional spaces. Generally, people tend to think worship has to happen within a church building. But then again, I don't know if that is true. From concert halls to living rooms, contemporary worship is breaking out boundaries and embracing new spaces. How does worshiping outside of a traditional church setting change your experience? And can really it happen? Can you worship outside in out of the ordinary environments?
Oh, good afternoon and good afternoon to the audience. This is a very good question that you've asked. When we talk about worship, we should first understand that we want to give glory to God and to have an experience with God. So if we believe that we need to worship only in a building, I believe we'll be trying to limit ourselves on what we can really do in what we deem to be praising God. For an example, we can go into nature and actually understand how God created and marvel at the work of his hands. And we sit there, we share food, we have a potluck, we pray, we go into other spaces where it's peaceful, and we can really have a true worship experience. We can even spend the Sabbath where we can go in the park, get some food, share it with people in the streets, the less privileged, spread the word of God. I think those are true, true, very beneficial worship experiences that would really benefit individuals in a more interactive way to understand who God is and also talk to his people who are less privileged or who need our assistance. Because I think worship is there to relieve the burden of other people. We sing with people who haven't sang in a long time. We shake hands with people who are depressed, who just need a smile. And I think that's what we call true worship. And not just us sitting together as Adventists in a church, we know each other every time, but I think worship is more of service, although it's also about us meeting on a Sabbath, but it can be also be more of service, being coupled together.
So what are the benefits and challenges of having worship in unconventional spaces, like at home, for example, like at a concert venue or outdoor gatherings? What are the benefits and challenges of that kind of worship?
I think the benefits, it opens up the mind to new experiences and to actually address the needs of society and also engage. Like I gave an example of going into a nature reserve or nature, taking a nature walk or being in a park to experience the creation of God. But the challenges come in... apologies for the noise. Apologies. The challenges that we face is that if we, let's say, take an example that you gave of a concert, the issue is we are getting into an environment which is new in terms of our worship systems, the kind of music that's going to be played there, the dressing that's going to be there. Those are things that we should take into consideration. What principles are going to uphold? So it's a nuanced system that we're getting into, but we need to be careful that we balance the two of getting into a new environment and also preserving the decorum that we have maintained in the worship in our churches. So I'm not saying to say that things happen there that are wrong, but we just have to balance the two and make sure that we bring out a really meaningful worship experience.
So you're of the view that worship can happen in a concert?
Yes, it can.
In spite of the major disorder that you see at concerts?
No, I don't think that's a disorder per se. I think this boils down to the organizational structure. Because look, we have music days at our churches where people sing and we do worship. But the change of environment doesn't mean that we have to change the decorum that exists.
I'm referring to concert, people, particularly our women, dress anyhow at a concert. They don't dress the same way they are dressed when they're going to church. At a concert, people talk while people are singing. At a concert, people come wearing hats and all sorts of, things on their persons. Men are wearing caps while there's worship at a concert. And you find people drinking and eating while people are singing at a concert. Surely the environment of a concert can never be compared to the environment of a church. And the two don't have anything similar as far as as decorum, is it?
No, I fully understand with the context that you're bringing in, but that's why we need to really clarify what's worship. So worshiping God is not really confined to a certain environment of church only, and confined to a certain system of dress only. That would be wrong, because in each and every aspect of our lives, we should be able to worship God. So even in a social environment, worship should exist. So when we are saying we are going to church, we are going to a particular event that involves worship in a certain environment. Then when I meet up with my friends, I shouldn't say I cease to worship God because we are wearing jeans. So I'm not saying there's no dressing that is modest or that. I'm just saying we should be modest, even in a social environment, even in a church environment, even at work. Worship should exist in every environment that we are in. So if we limit to dress, that means we worship, we are limiting our interaction with God. So we should be able to be hugely dynamic and able to worship God in every particular environment and not limit God to a specific system or type of dress for worship. But I'm not saying people shouldn't be modest. Get me right there.
My issue is not even about...
worship is not limited to church only. It's in each and every place we are in.
My question is not necessarily about modesty, even for this, just modesty.
Yes.
My issue is about the entirety of what constitutes decorum. If you're saying, therefore, what you're saying, that then means people can come to church eating and drinking while there's worship. And we should not have any deacons who are going to stop that. People can come dressed any way they like, as long as they deem it to be modesty. And no deacon will come and complain about that. People can come talking while there's preaching and singing. People can talk in the church. We should not complain because, after all, the fact that worship can happen anywhere then means people can worship anyhow. Whether there is other people eating, others are drinking, others are talking, others are standing up, others are sitting down while worship is happening up there. If I'm listening to you well, then decorum is not really the issue. People can worship anywhere, anyhow, isn't it?
Do we agree that there's decorum at a funeral?
No, there is no decorum at a funeral.
No. That's what I'm saying. You're speaking to an environment. You're talking about settings. So when you're going to work, you need to dress like you're going to work. Are we together?
Right.
And that's decorum in that setting. If you're going to church, it's a particular environment that's set for the activities that happen at church, and you need to be appropriate for church. So when you're saying we're going to...
Who determines propriety, Mfundis? Who determines propriety of decorum? These levels of decorum seem to imply that what God is accepting is dependent on the environment. God is accepting of this kind of environment, therefore you can loosen up your decorum. In that kind of environment, God is okay. And yet the God we see at Sinai says, go and consecrate yourself. Before you appear before me, go consecrate yourselves.
The problem is that even our Jesus went to a wedding, right?
Jesus was not worshipping at a wedding. For this,
doesn't mean that he lost his decorum.
He was not worshipping at a wedding. For this,
what I'm just saying that there's a setting and a particular behavior that's required in a particular setting, but it does not remove that worship is taking place.
There is no record of Jesus worshipping at a wedding.
Before you interject, very sorry. I just need some 2 minutes. What I'm saying is that It's in each and particular environment, there's a certain behavior that's required, but it does not mean that it offends God or removes the concept of worship. Are we together? So worship is praising God and continuing with your connection with God, constantly in prayer, because prayer is a lifestyle. But as we live as human beings, we enter into different environments that require a certain kind of behavior. So if I clap my hands, it does not mean that I'm dishonoring God in this kind of behavior. If I'm dressed like this in this certain environment, so music is played within your car when you're driving everywhere you're going. You play gospel music, you're worshiping. Music is played at a wedding, gospel music. That means worship is not, we're not giving glory, we're giving glory to God. Even in church, there's a certain decorum that's required there. But they were required to behave differently in these settings, but not defying the principles of God. But it does not mean that worship has been excluded.
There's no record of Jesus worshiping at a wedding, Mfundisi.
Yes. You can come in, sir.
I just did, Mfundisi. I'm saying there's no record of Jesus worshiping at a wedding.
No. Where, you remember what I said? I'm saying Christ never sinned. And he was in constant communication with God. But he did not exclude himself from the environment of social...
We're talking about worship, Mfundisi. I need you to respond to the issue of worship.
That worship is a lifestyle. It's who you are, not the particular environment. Like prayer, it's not kneeling down. It's who you are. It's you, yourself. Lifestyle, it's a lifestyle, a principle that you live by. So as you do everything, if you're doing it to the glory of God, that means you're worshiping. That's what I'm saying. So if you want to lead worshiping to church, then we'll have a problem. Because wherever you go, you say, I've left church. Now I can live the way that I want to live.
I'm okay with that, Mfundisi.
What I was saying, in each and every step that you take, you're worshiping.
I'm perfectly okay with that, Mfundisi. What I was saying, therefore, was... the expectations that people tend to have about worship at church are unrealistic and wrong based on what you're saying. Because people don't need to look or sound or be in a particular way in order for them to be worshiping. After all, worship is not a place or dress, it's a lifestyle. So if we concede that Jesus was worshiping while creating, making wine, people can bring their wine and be like Jesus in their lifestyle at church.
No. That's why I said this. When I go to a funeral, right, the Bible says you should cry, but cry like a person with the hope. Are we together? But the Bible is saying I should cry with the hope. That means I'm worshiping.
The Bible does not give an instruction as to what happens. You're misrepresenting the Bible now. No. You can't say the Bible tells us what to do at a funeral.
No, can I finish?
We can't continue with a misrepresentation of Scripture. Unless you are contending that there's a Scripture that says, the Bible says people must go and cry at a funeral. Point us to that Scripture that guides us to say that.
The Bible says that people should not cry like people without a hope.
At a funeral.
This is in Thessalonians. Right?
That doesn't speak about funerals and funerals.
It speaks about how we should behave when we have lost a loved one.
Yes, but that doesn't speak to the environment of a funeral. That's what I'm trying to contend with you on.
The way we behave. The First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13.
Right.
Do not grieve as those who have no hope.
Right.
Meaning that when we meet at a particular time, this is talking about death. It's saying that when we grieve, there's a certain way that we should cry and behave in that moment.
Right.
Are we together?
Right.
So that means at that particular venture and environment where we cry whilst worshiping, believing in the hope. You get what I'm saying? So meaning that in that environment, we cannot cry in church, but we can cry at the funeral, but believing in the hope while worshiping.
We can't cry at church, Mfundisi.
Yes?
Are you saying we can't cry at church now?
No, we can't. At church, we're not having a funeral. That's what I'm saying.
But we do, Mfundisi. We do have funerals at church.
We do, but at home, that's where we meet and we cry, right?
No.
But that's what I'm saying. That, get me right. It's not normal worship. It's a funeral.
What's
but
normal
we are
worship?
worshiping.
What's normal worship, Mfundisi? Maybe we need to
Normal
define that.
worship is the version of church that you are putting across, that you yourself, which I'm disputing, that you are putting across.
Yeah, but
and
you
I'm
have,
saying
you're disputing
that
it by calling it normal worship. Is that your
normal worship? Because that's the default position of the understanding of this conversation. Let me put it that way.
No, Mfundisi,
and then I'm saying we cannot limit ourselves to what has been given us to say when we are in church, we are worshiping. And I'm saying, no, everywhere where we are worshiping. So if you want to dispute that a concert venue cannot have worship, if it's bringing character traits that do not belong to normal worship, it's a problem with the people who are there and the environment that has been created. But people can meet at a concert and actually listen to good music and worship. That's what I'm saying. So worship is a principle, not an environment like what you're putting it across.
So what I'm putting to you, Mfundisi, is there must be consistency in our definitions. If you're going to define worship as a lifestyle, that definition should apply everywhere and every time, consistently.
Thank you very much. Now we are speaking the same language.
All right.
To say worship is a principle, let's get that right.
Mfundisi,
it's not an environment. It's a principle.
I'm with you on that. If you're saying it's a principle, that principle must apply whether we're at a concert, at a funeral,
yes,
at a wedding,
yes,
or
in a
building we call a church building.
Thank you very much. Then we're at the same point. Even when you're walking in the street,
yes,
you should display the character of Christ. That
right.
means you're worshiping.
Right.
Even in your discussions with your friends,
right,
they should see the light coming from you. That means you're in constant connection with the source.
Let's go back to my question then, Mfundisi. My question was, if then we concede, then that means because we have absolute worship when there is, we are walking in the streets with your friends, wearing your jeans, and other people are shouting and others are playing noise, gom music that side, others are smoking, others are drinking, you still can worship. Because worship is a lifestyle. You can worship wherever you are. You can worship at a club. You can worship at a concert. You can worship at home. And the same kind of lifestyle can be prevalent at church.
I never said that. I never said that.
But you just agreed to it now, Mfundisi.
What I said is this, right? Do you know that there are people who go to church, right? And we determine that these guys are not worshiping. Because even when they're in church. Why? Because we've seen that there's a certain principle that's not emanating from their conduct, even when they're in church.
What principle
that's
is this now,
Mfundisi? That's why you said to me that deacons will come and try to address the issue. So now come back to this
but
point.
But you disputed that, Mfundisi. Remember, you disputed that.
No. Can I finish? So that's why I'm saying that in each and every where you are,
yes,
it brings out the character that you are in. So even at the funeral, we can say this funeral has nothing to do with God. We don't want to be here. At a church, we can say we cannot worship in this church because we don't like the behavior that's here. We can say we don't want to go to this wedding because it
but
doesn't
But is worship
represent
about
our
people's preferences, Mfundisi? Is
Sorry?
Worship is worship about people's preferences, that whether they like things or not?
No. That's why we establish me and you that it's a principle.
But what are you telling then about, what are you saying now about people not worshipping in certain churches because they don't like? What's that about? That's irrelevant,
Sorry?
Isn't it?
Sorry?
When,
can you repeat what you're saying?
When you're saying some people will not worship at a certain church because they don't feel like this is the right way of doing it, that is irrelevant. That's them and their devilish ways. Because God does not restrict people on how they're going to worship now, does he?
No. When the Bible says in everything that you do it to the glory of God.
Yes, not to the glory of people's opinions.
The principles of modesty. We need to exercise the principles of love. We need to exercise the principles of the character of Christ. So when we know them by their fruits, what they display, are they connected to the source or not? So it's a matter of principle being, we see them by their fruits.
What fruits would those be,
Mfundisi?
What are the fruits of worship? What are the fruits of worship, Mfundisi?
I just stated them.
Which are
that
what?
When I started, I gave an example that we can go and give food to people. We can see that these people are trying to show love. We can see that these people are trying to show kindness. We see these people that they
I'm
want
talking
to
about a church in Fundis where you would say people are not worshiping the right way when people walk away from a church. What would those fruits be?
Those fruits be.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying, that they're opposite of what I've just stated. There's no kindness, there's no love, there's no modesty, there's no reverence, there's no acknowledgement of who God is. So at the end of the day, that's why I'm an Adventist, because I like the principles that are exhibited by where I want to be and the family that I want to be associated with.
Final question, Mfundisi. How can churches create opportunities to worship that extend beyond the walls of their buildings?
People should refrain from, like, this lesson that we're talking about this week, last week, when people are holding cultural perspectives that have nothing to do with God and restricting people from exhibiting what Christ would have wanted us to exercise to the people around us. That's when we'll face a challenge. And that's why we are trying to confine ourselves to things that have nothing to do with God, when we should be people who are actually extending the first hand to the people outside our communities and outside the Adventist family, going into places that we've never been or have never been touched. That's what we exercise as worship, trying to put the message across as further as much as possible, creating environments that will attract other people to our system, offering, asking people for water, like what Jesus said before he addressed the situation. He looked at the need of the person and addressed it. That's what's true worship. So we need to get out of the confines of this traditional system, this system that God has nothing to do with, and establish what God, Jesus, would have done in this situation. We'll answer this question very well to say, what is true worship?
Do you think worship in unconventional spaces has different spiritual impact compared to traditional settings?
No. Going outside is an impact, because they're going to areas that have never been touched. You'll be shocked, because people want this message. They are waiting, because remember, the woman at the well actually knew of this Messiah was going to come, but did not know, and waiting for that Messiah, and did not know that he was looking at him and told, I am the one. She ran and preached. So the people are going to spread the message are those outside more than us.
You seem to be giving disparate definitions of worship, Mfundisi. You're talking about giving food, and yet people, when they go to church on a Sabbath morning, they're not giving anyone food. They are there for a spiritual nourishment, and they're not giving food or clothing or anything like that. And what we're trying to establish is what we do at church. Can we do the same thing at a different place?
That's why I'm saying that. That's why I'm running away from that, from your question, because my issue is what we are doing at church actually the standard? That's the biggest question.
Who set these standards, Funis?
The first question was, what is worship, right?
Yes, yes.
So my question is, I'm attacking to say what we. That's why I said what we and me believe in. That is worship. Is it part of it, or is it worship exactly? I'm saying it's part of worship, and worship is broader than this.
Okay. All right. Mfundisi, thank you very much. I do hope we will be able to get you tomorrow, because we missed you yesterday and the day before, and we missed out on a lot of ground we could have covered. So I'm hoping we'll be able to reach you tomorrow so that we can be able to cover some more ground tomorrow. Is that okay, Mfundisi?
What time tomorrow?
Same time, Mfundisi, at 2:05.
Thank you very much. Not a problem. I'll be available.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Appreciate your time and your insights, yeah?
Sure, no problem.
Are you in need of prayer and support? Or do you have a Bible question? We invite you to share your prayer requests and questions with us. Whether you're facing challenges, seeking guidance, or simply needing comfort, our community is here to pray for you. Through the power of prayer, we can find strength and hope together. Don't hesitate. Send us your prayer requests now. Let us be a source of support in your time of need. Remember, you're never alone. Share your burdens and experience the power of collective prayer. Send the words SID7PRAY to +1 949 860 7007 on WhatsApp, and one of our digital missionaries is ready to pray for you or answer your Bible questions. That's SID7PRAY to +1 949 860 7007 on WhatsApp. Adventist World Radio SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.